Well, how many of you agree with that? The Lord's the best thing that ever happened to you. Amen. Thank God for His grace. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. And I invite you to turn to the book of Luke and the 17th chapter division. Luke chapter 17. We continue in what the Lord has led me in for a few weeks in the series of the Lord's commendations, different people at different times that He singled out and recognized in a special way and commended them, sometimes in word, but sometimes implied, but there was commendation. And tonight we're going to look at one leper that gave God praise who was healed out of 10. One leper out of 10. And that is recorded, of course, here in Luke chapter 17. Let's begin with verse 11, and I'll read through these verses, and then we'll look together at what we can see in the Word of God tonight. Verse 11 says, Luke 17, 11, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem," referring to Christ, "that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." This was Jesus' last trip that he made in that territory, headed toward Jerusalem before he was crucified. "And as he entered into a certain village," we don't know what village that was, but a certain village, "there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, saving this stranger or this Samaritan.' And he said unto him, 'Arise,'" to this one leper that came back, "'arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Now that's a story that is placed in the Bible for our benefit. And we look at some of the things I believe God is saying to us as we look at this story of these 10 lepers. Leprosy was a horrible, horrible disease. Still is a horrible disease. And if you can picture somebody whose face is emaciated and their hands and they're just in terrible condition with sores and all over their body, and something that, of course, the law had said was not clean, and they had to cry out unclean if somebody was coming toward them. What a terrible thing to have that dreaded disease of that day. But yet there were 10 of those people here in this little village, this little town, that were very, very sick. And Jesus healed all of them, and yet only one returned to give him the kind of praise that really he deserved. Here's some lessons we see in it, I think. Number one, that nobody who has ever called on the Lord in a time of need has ever been denied. Isn't that good? Nobody that has ever called on the Lord when they had a great need or any kind of need has called in vain. Look at verse 13 again. "And they lifted up their voices." They cried out. They lifted them up and said, "Jesus, Master, have" what? "Have mercy on us." They knew they needed mercy, and they were crying out earnestly as lepers that were all in the same boat physically. Even a leper, even somebody with those putrefying sores, had a right to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for His help. I'm glad that it is true in the Word of God we're taught that nobody is so sinful that God won't help. I don't care who it is or what they've done or how long they've done it. If they are willing to come to Christ and cry out for help, He will save them. He'll give them mercy the very minute that they cry out for help. And I'm glad for that. That's why we have prison ministry we support. We have a ministry we support, this church, where another man goes into juvenile delinquents. And guess what? Some of them get saved. Amen. And no matter what they've done, I heard a testimony of a man who was a murderer, who murdered somebody years ago. Now he has a church running about 2,200 people. And he got saved in prison, and God forgave him, washed his sins away, and now for about 20 years he's been serving the Lord, and God's blessed his life. And so I just don't believe God could ever take an old prisoner like that, and somebody's killed somebody and forgive them. He forgave Paul, didn't he? Sin is sin, all of these things. And yet, I know that God will save anybody that will come to Him. It may be a streetwalker, it may be somebody up and out, somebody down and out. But if they'll cry to Christ and say what they said, Jesus, Master, recognizing it, thank God He is no respecter of persons. He will help Jew and Gentile alike. And I think in this group, you see, we're all sort of in the same boat, aren't we? Jew or Gentile, we're sinners. We're lost. We need help. And here was a Samaritan, and maybe the rest of them were Jews, but obviously there was a mixture of them as they were gathered together with a common problem of being lepers. And so it is, Jew or Gentile, we're lost, we're sinful, we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And we all have to come to Him, Jew or Gentile. Psalm 50:15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God gives us an invitation. The psalmist said, God said, call on me. You have trouble tonight? You have problems tonight? You have pressure points tonight? You have difficulties tonight? Whatever the problem is, friend, call on the Lord, and He's there, and He'll help you out in your time of trouble. That's a promise of the Word of God. In verse 14, I think we see that the Lord does not deal with everybody in the same way. I'm glad that the Lord doesn't deal with everybody in the same way, but He has the same purpose in His dealings with people. Verse 14 said, and when He saw them, watch what He did. He heard them, He saw them. He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And why did He tell them that? Well, I think one reason was that He wanted something to show the priest as a testimony so that the Jewish priest could not deny that He was God in the flesh and that these men had been gloriously healed. It had been around 1,500 years since a Jew with leprosy had been healed. And now they're thinking in the New Testament, the priests, why do we have what we have in the book of Deuteronomy that tells us that they're unclean, and then if they claim that they've been healed, then they go to the priest, and the priest has to approve it and say they're all right, and then they can go back in society. And that really hadn't been happening for a long, long time. And now this is a testimony to the priests, the religious leaders, that God is working and souls can be saved. In this case, physical lives can be changed and people can be healed. But all a witness to the priest of who God was. But God works in different ways to bring people to Himself. In Luke chapter 5, the leper there was healed, but he was healed in a different way. Jesus laid His hand on that leper, and immediately, the Bible says, he was healed. On this occasion, He chose not to do it that way for whatever reason, that maybe being one of the reasons. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a man by the name of Naaman that needed to be healed. And Jesus said, I want you to go to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Well, he didn't really like that idea, but that was God's way of bringing him to grips with the cleansing that he needed and doing what God had told him to do, to obey the Lord. The woman at the well, Jesus dealt with her so kindly and so graciously. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, a murderer, a persecutor of the church, and the Lord struck him down with the brightness of His glory, and he got saved. God deals with different people in different ways, and different things bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's a tragedy, sometimes it's blessing, sometimes it's somebody who's talking to us. But there are many ways to Christ, but there's only one way to God, my dear friend, and that is through Christ. The only way. Sorry about all the other religions. You say, well, are you so dogmatic, narrow-minded, that you think that we have the only way? Amen. Well, yes, you're right. I think we have the only way because Jesus said he's the only way, and that's the only way to heaven. There is no other way. And I'm not gloating in the fact that religious people die, and I'm telling you that in a lot of our churches these days, some people are getting some funny ideas about other religions. Like, that's all right. One religion, this religion, that religion, the interfaith movement, all of those things going on. No, my dear friend, there's one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And he said in John 10:9, I am the door. Not a door, but the door. And you know that. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. But it all comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Many different things lead us to God, to Christ rather, but Christ is the only one that can get us in a right relationship with a thrice holy God and save our souls. Another thing we see, I think, again in verse 14 is that spiritual blessing only and always comes through the pathway of obedience. The pathway of obedience. Look at what Jesus said. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. Now watch. And it came to pass that as they went, as they were obeying him, as they were doing what he said do, they were cleansed. If they hadn't gone, they wouldn't have been cleansed. But as they went, he said, you go, show yourself unto the priest. I can see those guys just sort of in my mind's eye walking down that road, 10 of them together, and they're looking at each other and saying, man, he said we'd be healed, but this is awful, isn't it? You look terrible. And the oozing coming out of your sore, and I don't want to be too graphic about it, but it was a terrible thing. And some of the, maybe some fingers missing and a nose missing, part of it, and ears and so on and so forth. I mean, it was a terrible disease. And I can see them walking along there and they're looking at each other and thinking, well, I sure hope this is going to happen. He said it was going to happen. We took him at his word and they just keep walking. All of a sudden, one of them looks at another one and says, hey, goodness gracious, you look good now. Your sores are gone. And he looks at him and says, well, yours are too. And they began to look around and say to all the others, we're all healed. We've all been healed. Don't you know those guys were excited? They were excited. Wouldn't you like to be able to heal everybody that has cancer? Just touch them and heal them. Man, it would be great if they found a cure for that. It would be marvelous. And I'll grant you, if some of our loved ones who were dying with cancer got touched by the Lord and he raised them up and they were perfectly healed, we'd rejoice, we'd shout, we'd praise the Lord. We would get plumb unbaptistic about the whole thing and we'd be thankful for what God has done. Amen. And so they were excited about it as they went on their way doing what God said do. But that was the pathway of obedience. What he said was go and show. Go and show. And they said, he said it. He's the Lord. He's the Master. He's Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. And if we want to have the full blessings of God, we have to, number one, believe what he says, and number two, do what he says. Believe him, and then do what he says. It's not enough to believe it, but we've got to take action. Now, God gives us some commandments that are clearly associated with the gospel. Some very definite things that tie right in with the good news of the gospel. And he sets that out in his word. What are some of those commandments that he gives us? Number one, he says, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come. We got to come first. And then he says, repent. Do you know that's part of being saved, is having an attitude of repentance? We turn from something to someone. That someone is Christ. We turn from our old life. We repent. And repentance is part of the simultaneous action of being born again as we come to the Lord. Amen. And then he says, forsake There are some things we need to leave alone when we get saved. Forsaking all others, forsaking those things, leave it alone. Then the Lord says, believe on me. Believe with all of your heart. Believe by faith. That's the only thing. You know, what did they have to go by here? What did they have to go by? The word of Jesus. And their faith believed the word of Jesus. And he says we have to believe. Whosoever believeth in his heart and will confess with his mouth shall be saved. And then he says we're to confess and then be baptized. A person gets saved, they ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Then we should participate in the Lord's Supper, obeying God. We should become soul winners, all of that, because that's what God's taught us to do. You see, God wants us to obey him. So, the measure of our obedience determines the measure of our blessings. How many blessings do you want from God? How much do you want God to bless your life? How obedient am I? How obedient are you? And when we're obedient to him, then his blessings flow in our lives. And then in verses 15 and 16, when we look at all that the Lord has done for us, the least we can do is thank him, serve him, and worship him. Right? If we understand all that he's done for us, the least thing we can do, things we can do, is thank him, worship him, and serve him. So, look there, if you will, at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, one out of the ten, just one, turned back, and with a loud voice, did what? Glorified God, glorified the Father, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. The him is referring to someone. Who is it referring to? Jesus. And he said, God. They were one and the same. It's all right there. He never denied who he was. And so he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, God's feet, Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? 10 were cleansed, but where are the 9? It's natural, folks. It ought to be natural for us when we get saved and we look back and we understand what God has done for us through his Son, that we give him our whole life, that we surrender everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of all that he has done. He left heaven for you. He had a ministry on this earth for you. He cried and wept and went through agony in the Garden of Gethsemane for you. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died and suffered for you. For me too, but for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ arose after they buried him. Amen. He is not in some coffin somewhere over there where some producer of movies has determined or decided in his own mind through pseudoscience that he's found the bones of Jesus and Mary and so on and so forth. You'll find out there's absolutely nothing to that, so don't panic and don't worry about it. I'm telling you tonight, Christ arose and he is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us right now. He's not in some coffin over there. He arose. And not only that, he is, as I said, making intercession for us. And then there's a great thing coming up. He's going to return for you. All of that he's done for us. What are we doing for him? You see, we ought to give him our life. Thank him. Not in word only, but thank him in action. Thank him in obedience. Thank him in deed. Thank him with a dedication of your life. The songwriter said, were the whole realm of nature mine, that would be a present far too small. Far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. Would you say amen to that? He does deserve our very best. And then, verse 19, only when we come and thank him for all that he's done, like this one who came back. Only when we have that attitude and that humility and that understanding that we thank Him for all that He's done for us, that's when we're going to receive the assurance and the commendation from the Lord. Verse 19. The Bible says in that verse, and He said unto him, Jesus said unto him, arise. Remember where the leper was that got healed? He was on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a bad place to be. And he was worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He commended him. He said, you're sort of special. You came back and you worshiped me and you surrendered everything to me and you praised me. Now get up. The Gentile Samaritan that got saved. I think it implies he not only got healed, but he got saved. And he took off and served the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gave, I think, a great deal of assurance and a great deal of commendation because of his attitude. I hope that that's our attitude tonight. Let's bow our heads. Every head is bowed. And here's some things for a moment I want you to think about, and that is, if you need help tonight, whatever area it's in, my friend, the Lord has that help for you. And He will not turn down your request unless you're a backslidden believer out of God's will. And then we need to get that right so He will answer our prayer. But if you need help tonight, just like these lepers, God will help you. If you're here and you're lost, God will save your soul. Then remember, there's only one way to God, and that's through Christ. But folks, a lot of people don't know that. And we need to be soul winners like I've been preaching on Sunday night. We need to be faithful witnesses because there is only one way. And if you want to be blessed like this one who came back, then the way to be blessed is to obey the Lord. That's the only way to be blessed. And then I ask you tonight, folks, I ask myself, I ask all of us, are we thankful? Do we really worship Him? Are we really showing that we love Him and worship Him by our service, by our commitment, by our dedication to the Lord? Are we like the one, or are we like the nine who went on their way and never came back? No record of whatever happened to them, but they never came back. As far as we know. Let's stand, please. Father, we know tonight that You can meet every need that we have. We know there's only one way to You, and that's through Jesus, the door. But some folks don't know where the door is or who the door is, and we need to tell them. Help us to be committed to witnessing day by day, every day, to seize the opportunities to tell others about Christ. And Father, I pray that You would just help us to walk in the pathway of obedience that we might have Your blessing and Your commendation. If there's disobedience in our hearts in any way, I pray that tonight we'd turn it over to You. You know our needs, and we commit all of this to You. In Jesus' name.